up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! When I move, you move.
Yo, what's happening, you guys? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 41. For the week of Monday, January 16th, let's guess? 2012. I'm guessing the 16th. I'm sticking to it. Final answer. On today's podcast, I'm going to interview a couple of my friends, John Reap and John Heffron, about Last Comic Standing. They both won Last Comic Standing. Heffron won in season 2, and John Reap won in season 5. And I just talked to them all about that show, what it was like doing it. Obviously, we meandered a bunch, but what we did for this episode was we're doing a summer abroad situation where I interviewed them for my podcast and they interviewed me for their podcast. They got a really funny podcast on Death Squad, on the Death Squad network, called Last Podcasting. Get it? Because they're both one Last Comic Standing. It's Last Podcasting. They'll give you the email address and stuff. You can write to them. I think it's lastpodcasting@gmail.com. Let's guess that, but that's probably not accurate, so don't write to them with that. But, so we just decided to air this both on each other's networks. It's kind of like one of those 70s styles. Like, remember when Scooby-Doo and Gilligan's Island teamed up? Like, they each went on each other's show. Although now that I think about it, there's no way Scooby-Doo went on Gilligan's Island. Because Gilligan's Island was real. I mean, it wasn't real, but it was real people in the show. And Scooby-Doo was a cartoon. And cartoons aren't on real shows, so there's no way they did that. My memory is false. That was before Cool World and Roger Rabbit. So there's no way they did that. But regardless, we're each airing this on each other's podcasts. So fun for all of us. That's it. In terms of stand-up, I got Rick Brunson's House of Comedy in Minneapolis, Minnesota, January 25th through the 29th. Go to houseofcomedy.net for that. What else? February? I don't know. Oh, the 28th, I got my storyteller show, the 28th. No topic, no ideas yet. If you have an idea for a topic, write me. contact@arishaffir.com. March, South by Southwest. There'll be more dates too, but just this is what I know now. March in Austin, South by Southwest. Don't know where I'm playing, but it's during that festival. I'm excited about that. April, I'll be in Dallas at the Addison Improv. And I think that's all. I don't know. Foxwoods. I'll be in Connecticut in June at Foxwoods Casino. I'm playing a casino. Yeah, so that'll be fun. And that's it, you guys. Everybody, sit back, relax, and enjoy Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, number 41. Three comics sitting. No, should I say that or last comic standing? Which one should I do? One of those two. Three comics sitting? Nah, we'll see. Anyway, enjoy.
All I need is a microphone and a beautiful brick wall.
Brick wall.
And I am gonna be the last comic standing. You know I'm gonna be the last comic standing. I'll be a joke machine, I'll be a naughty class clown. I'll be a private whore just until the sun goes down. Have you on your knees laughing at myself? Along with my bed, you'll never forget.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Today, my guests are John Heffron and
whoa,
John
whoa, 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 whoa. Skeptic? No. You're...
What?
This is the last podcasting with John Heffron and John Reap. You're at my house. This
oh,
is,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, we're doing your show?
Yeah, you're doing my show.
But I think it's okay that we combine them because we're actually, it's greener that way.
It's greener? It's
two podcasts on one, it's less energy.
Mashup!
Mashup!
Groovers in the heart! So perfect.
I'm
we can
sexy
do this.
And I know it. Well, this is proof that comedians are lazy.
Oh yeah.
That we're not going to do two separate
I'll
podcasts.
Go on mine. No.
No, we'll do one and we'll split it.
Yeah, we just saved ourselves like 4 hours of driving in Los Angeles by deciding let's do each other's and the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very it's like carpooling.
The only reason we're here is cuz you're central.
Yeah,
it's
the equivalent of the
carpool lane.
The carpooling. We're
HOV lane.
We're pod cooling.
We're pod pod cooling. I like that.
Whatever it is.
Sure. I just think the HOV lane meant people could only drive there if they were carrying dangerous materials.
Really?
It just looked like that.
High occupancy. Yeah. That was, yeah. Now, this is like, I'm in the middle of you guys. So you're in like West Hollywood. Yeah. And you're in Woodland Hills.
That side you live there. Isn't that boring as fuck?
You know what? Yeah. And I don't realize, you know, I went to Hollywood recently to do a set, and I saw the life and the people around and parking, and people were going into restaurants, and I saw that.
Yeah.
And then I went to – I live where, you know, people my age that are married live. So it's a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it's boring, but
– what do you, is there a local, like, bar or restaurant or place that you like to go out that's close by your house?
That's assuming I go out with my wife and we do that type of stuff.
You guys never go out together?
Man, I know it's going to sound crap. Very rarely. Yeah. I'm home Mondays and Tuesdays, and she works down in Irvine, which is in wherever you're listening to this from. Imagine driving 700 miles away
right.
and having it take 14 days to get there. That's the equivalent of
Yeah, it's annoying as fuck. At certain hours, you must be like, nah, I'm not going.
Yeah, so she'll come back from that. So she very rarely. Although last night we had game night. Oh, which is never done. She's really into like playing games, mm-hmm. and she's like,
that's
I just want to play a board game. And I'm like,
payday?
No.
Did you play Payday? That's my favorite game.
Well,
Payday?
Yeah.
I've never.
So there's a candy bar.
It's my favorite candy bar, too, actually. You know what? I just realized the Juke connotations to that. But, I didn't realize how terrible that
I forgot
was.
What Payday is. What is that?
It was a weird board game. Not everybody had it. It was Milton Bradley.
Yeah, I remember it. I just don't remember what.
I barely remember it also.
Oh,
I
just that's going to kill me. Life was the one you spend
Life
the green
was great.
Thing.
That was a long game, though.
Life was long.
Never finished the game
Monopoly
of Life
was
or
long.
Monopoly.
Monopoly
like,
was long.
I've never finished a game of Monopoly.
Scrabble was long.
Was Payday like
a
dumbed down
like.
Version of Monopoly?
No, you had to like earn a living and like get a raise and shit. You can get fired.
Okay.
It was a little different.
When's the last time you played it?
Probably the other decade.
the other decade.
The other 80s.
No, so your game night, you guys don't play Payday.
Well, I said no, I didn't want to play. And then I was like, okay, I'm kind of being a douche. Why did I just say no?
Yeah.
Like, she asked me to play a board game, and I was like, no, I'm going to watch
no?
TV. No, yeah, because I was like, okay, you
Did
eventually
you say,
have to go.
I don't feel like it, or just no?
I just honestly, and then I was like, okay, I'm being kind of a dick. Why don't I just play a game? Like, why did I say no immediately?
Yeah.
So then I went and got Rummy Cube. Do you remember that game?
Rummy Cub.
Rummy.
Yeah.
It's good because you don't have to shuffle. You just throw all the little tablets on the thing
it's
tiles
like
and
it's
you
like dice,
mess
but,
it, so it's nice.
No, I've never played that.
But then my wife had all these different
make, like,
games. Like I'm
of,
like my family didn't
sixes,
play that
runs
way.
Of like six, seven, eight of the same suit.
It's like a card.
Like, it's
like a
card
game,
but with dice instead.
Oh,
or yeah, it was really fun. But she had these extra versions to play. Like she's like, no, as long as there's three tiles, you can move a tile. I'm like, I've never played that version.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then it became into whose family was better because you know, like no, at the end, the one thing I realized after we got done is my entire life. I don't think there's anything sucks less than putting away a game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I can't think of anything else. Like
packing it back up, making sure all the parts are still there.
You just shove it in. Like, can I close the top? No. Yeah. Shove it in again. Let's reorganize.
That's the good thing about chess is those games last forever. You never have to put it up. It just stays out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those ongoing games, I guess. But I don't play chess, so.
I don't know.
I played it in seventh grade, and I was halfway decent, and
I've played chess before, but I don't have any like strategy or anything.
No, I get killed.
Yeah.
If anyone knew halfway what they were doing, I would get
killed.
I
was good probably when you were good, when you were like, you know that move where you could like castle, where you could like switch your king and your castle?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
When
yeah.
you pull that out, you're like, oh, I bet you didn't see this coming.
This guy's good.
I don't even know which way the guys move.
You know what I play now all the time on my iPad when I'm traveling is backgammon. I'm addicted to backgammon.
We have a backgammon.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you play it?
Shishbash.
Shishbash.
Shishbash, that's what they call it in Israel.
Ah.
I played a guy for free
cab something.
Fare once.
New what? Really?
Yeah, in Israel. We were in Tel Aviv away. From. We were staying in Jerusalem, but we were in Tel Aviv, like pretty much the width of the country away.
Uh-huh.
And but it's a beach place, and we're like, listen, here's the deal. We're going to stay at a hostel. Let's play this guy for cab fare from whatever club we went to home. It's like, listen, if we fucking win this, we can afford a hotel tonight. If we lose, we're sleeping on the beach. And they're like, Ari, because we got no discussion with the cab driver about it.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll play you for the cab fare right now. We're like, do you guys want to do it? What's the situation? It was like four of us.
Was it just you versus him?
Just me versus him.
No one else could chime in and help?
Best of three.
Okay.
Do you think
and,
we can
and
make
you
it?
Won.
And I won, yeah.
How many? Two out of three? Or did you just smoke him?
No, I think we split, and then I won the third one.
Nice.
I played backgammon when I – you think we could make it cross-country if we did that? We started in Los Angeles and just started playing dudes' games and had to make it to New York.
And, like, you win money if you
– You just got to gamble.
For cab fare, the whole way across the country.
Way across the country.
No, for hotel.
Did I just invent a reality show?
I think we would go broke.
Yeah. Parker Brothers or whatever.
If it was like you win, you get to stay at a hotel. You lose, you got to camp outside.
Right. And just like...
Yeah, then you can make it. But
I would only know backgammon or checkers. That's about it.
I've played backgammon since I was a little kid. We had a backgammon set that I find... I didn't know we had a game closet. There's a closet in my house. You can open it up for gay jokes that I haven't opened. I didn't realize there was like every game ever. I've lived in this house like 5 years. I've no reason to ever go into that, open that door for anything. And there's games in there, and we have a backgammon set, but we choose Rummy Cube over backgammon. We should play. Is that old guy thing?
I don't know.
It's great. Swap in and out because it's so much luck too.
No, a lot of luck is involved.
I know
that
there's a
lot of dice.
Poker players play
backgammon. Do you use the cube? Do you double?
Yeah, when you're gambling, you use the cube.
Yeah.
Then it gets fucking nice.
Yeah, I play the computer all the time, and I put it on expert level. I win about most of the time.
Sometimes you got to know. It's like, don't be cocky. Like, nope, I give. I'm not accepting your double.
This game, I'm going to attack any fucking piece you've got wide open. I'm just going to jump on it.
Backgammon just seems like something that, like, when one day you are 70 sitting in a park because really nobody's coming looking for you anymore about anything, that's something you could play.
Pass the time. Talk about
it. Or when you're at the Sunnyvale rest home. They might have a backgammon board.
I'm so happy you guys play. I don't know anyone else who plays backgammon.
I love it. I forgot about this. Me and Ami Butler used to have a crown that we would pass back and forth to each other.
A backgammon crown?
Yes, that we made out of tinfoil and cardboard. And if you get the crown, you own it.
It's your crown.
Yeah, but someone has to. This is what the deal was. If they beat you, I bet it was 5 out of 9 or whatever it was. 6 out of 11, whatever you had to win them.
Right.
You get a chance to win the crown, and then you have to give the guy a chance to win it back or something.
Yeah.
Like that day.
How long did that last?
Years and years. And every time we saw each other, we're like, let's play for the crown.
Where's the crown?
It's at Ami's house right now.
God damn it. You got to get that crown back.
I got to get that back.
Let's practice.
Maybe we can, like.
Now that I remembered it, it's the only thing I care about.
We need to do a
video
of this.
Could you challenge him? When was the last time you played him for the crown?
It's been a while. I should. He lives in New York. I'll definitely see him again.
Let's start our own crown.
I think you need to text him right now and to go, I'm getting the crown back. Just jump in, say you want it back. Yeah. And now you're going to be forced. You're going to be forced to.
Where does he live?
Practice
New York,
and then you practice on us.
There you go.
And
then
we'll get you in shape like Rocky and play the Survivor song.
I got a board. I can bring it down here. Yeah, we'll do a montage of you like just
getting
beating me and John.
Yeah, and then we'll send you off and see what happens. And you're not allowed to have cab money back. You got to bet him 600. What would get you back in JetBlue from New York to?
5 get you back, right? Straight flight from JFK to LAX.
500?
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
Maybe we sponsor Ari. We throw him a couple $100
to get the crown back.
To only get the money to come back. And the deal is, Ari could be stuck in New York if he loses because he's got to get back.
You got to figure out how to get back on your own.
That was the plan when I left my friend Jim Painter. We went to Tijuana and he had ratted me out for putting shit on Bobby Lee's car that time. So my plan was to leave him in San Diego. But I was trying to steal his wallet so that he wouldn't have any means of getting back.
I had that happen to me.
I couldn't end up getting the wallet. I tried, like, we were going to Tijuana.
That would be
bad
horrible.
Stuff. Yeah, and I was like, we should leave our wallets in my car so that we don't get robbed.
Right.
But then as soon as he got back in the car, he grabbed his wallet.
Damn it. I'm not doing that. I had a comic do that to me and another comic. We did a college tour with him where it was called Crack Me Up, and you go to college campuses. I was about 19.
Yeah.
The college kids could win $25 if they didn't laugh. And if they laughed, they got nothing. So you'd have to call up random college kids, sit them in a chair, go behind a curtain, come out, and they'd have to not laugh for...
It's like Make Me Laugh.
It's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Super
but it
Dave.
Was a,
remember him?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He used
Super
to go
Dave.
On it. Was he on
that?
Make Me Laugh? No.
A lot of people on Make Me Laugh on Comedy
his
Central.
His deal was he would go on like... it might have been Carson, but it was probably Letterman. And he was like, yeah, tell me any joke. I won't laugh. And the people would tell him the best jokes, and everyone would be cracking up the audience, and he would just stare cold faced.
I don't think I've ever seen that guy laugh at anything.
Super Dave?
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's got this straight face thing.
I learned how to play backgammon from the first roommate I had in L.A. when I moved out here. It's a guy named Joe Stevens. He was an actor, but he was a crazy son of a bitch. He was hard of hearing a little bit, and he got mad at, like, remote controls for not working, would throw them, and then like
I love people like that.
The craziest story. Man. This is great, man. Jeff Richards was on SNL, right?
Yeah.
And I was road dogging a lot. He goes, "Hey, man, do you mind if I crash in your room for like a couple days?" It turned into like a week.
Yeah. While he was visiting, because he didn't have an apartment.
Right.
Okay.
I said, "Yeah, I think that should be fine. Let me talk to my roommate about it." And I told Joe about it, and Joe was excited because you know. It's a guy from SNL. Oh, okay. Maybe I could rub some elbows or whatever. And so and I wasn't there. And I let Jeff use my car and everything. And, when I got back, the car looked like a tornado hit
it.
That's
the worst. You know? Just to turn everything nice.
Dude, I had a notepad. This is how geeky I was in my Suzuki Sidekick. I had one of those little notepads that you could stick to the...
Oh, yeah.
I get a call. Down. I just write something down real quick.
That's
you know?
When you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. And that was... He got tired of that. Like he just ripped it and threw it in the
Richards?
Jeff. Yeah, he just threw it down. It was in the floorboard when I got my car.
Didn't
back
put
with
it back
newspapers
up.
and burger wrappers and shit.
What a dick.
And so
I love it.
You know, I was like, whatever, you know. And then but the worst part was what he did to Joe because Joe wanted to talk and hang out with him because, you know, it was a guy from SNL and stuff. But Jeff was different hours and stuff, you know, and coming at all hours of the night. And he'd be watching porn at like 2 in the morning and turn it up to volume 10 and like joking here. He's like, "Turn that shit off. I'm trying to sleep." And they got into a big argument or something, you know, via the phone. They never actually ran into each other.
What do you mean via the phone?
Like Joe had his number.
So he called him from in his room.
So no, well, he well, off, yeah. Asshole. Maybe there was a couple of conversations, but like never, like not many times they would run into each other, you know.
Okay.
But the best was Joe left this long voicemail after he was had enough of Jeff.
Yeah.
This was all while I was gone. I wasn't even around for any of this. But Jeff let me listen to the voicemail later, and it's fucking hilarious.
What is that?
He goes, "Listen here, you motherfucker. You've been here a goddamn week. You're in there. You're in John's room. You're jacking off at 2 in the morning, louder than hell. I can't sleep. I had to go to sleep doctor. I'm on all kinds of pills for insomnia, and you ain't so much as bought me a goddamn cheeseburger. That's it, man. I've had enough of you. You got to get the hell out of here, all right? Bicycle."
he signed up.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I got that from. A lot of people, I say bicycle a lot.
Yeah, I get
so
that
people
a lot.
Always ask me, like, where did that come from? It came from my first roommate, Joe Stevens. Yeah.
The story I was telling when we did that tour, we're in Memphis, Tennessee, and we had a rule that instead of going mileage, we put like 30,000 miles on this rent a van.
Yeah.
You had to pay $20 for gas, not FTE, just when it was your turn to drive, you had to pay $20. Mm-hmm. And then we'd split a hotel room in between nights where you didn't have shows, and you're on rotation on who slept on the floor. Uh-huh. So a guy got a bed, another guy got in a bed, one guy slept on the floor. So we had kind of a system so nobody ever got screwed.
Yeah.
Well, the guy, comic we were working with, he started going, "Hey, I need to borrow $20 for gas," and give him $20 gas, and he put $12 in for gas and buy food for the remaining. So, you know, I know it sounds like you're nickel and diamond, but when you're broke as shit, and you start to wreck the thing. And then we got to a hotel, and I go, "Oh, this floor looks okay for you." And he's like, "I'm not sleeping on the floor." And I go, "Well, we pay for the room. You're sleeping on the floor."
Yeah.
That's always been the thing. We don't have any of our stuff, right? So we get out of the van. We're stretching. Me and this Pat Francis guy go in to check in. Neither of us had our wallets. We see the van getting on freeway in Memphis, Tennessee, and heading north to Chicago or whatever the north. The guy leaves us in Memphis, Tennessee, in front of this shit hotel.
Oh my God.
With no wallet, no whatever.
Whoa.
So we're calling this John Yoder guy who books us.
Yeah,
like, I know Yoder.
I know Yoder.
We're like, Jason just left us. He left us in Memphis. Well, he'll be back. He'll be back. 5 hours later, we're still now just sitting.
You don't even have a room to check into.
No, we have nothing.
You have
no
ID,
wallet, no wallets.
You're just
no
standing.
Nothing.
So they're like, "No, you can't."
No, we're
nothing.
Homeless guys. We're homeless guys. We call in Yoder, and he's like, we talked to him. He's on his way back to Milwaukee. We're like, "What are we supposed to do?" And John Yoder, this guy, he's like, "I don't know. You guys got to just, you know, we'll have to. Can you make it?" No. He goes, "Can you make it to tomorrow's show?" That's because all they care about.
Yeah, exactly.
We have nothing. We don't have money. We don't have a van. We don't. He's
this
like,
guy never gave
"So
me-
you guys can't make it?" No,
you're
we can't.
Like, "You're like, oh, come on. Don't put this on us lately.
We can't." Now, this sounds dumb, but this is pre, like, no one. We
no
didn't
one had cell
have
phones,
cell
right?
phones.
Yeah.
No. Or you didn't have a laptop to, like, suddenly figure out stuff. It was old school. So I think they had the Western Union us money, and then we had to jump on a train.
Oh, my God.
And it was 17-hour train ride to Chicago.
Oh,
wow. And then we had to get to this guy's, Pat's house, jump in the car, drive up to Milwaukee where this dude was living.
It was his van, I take it.
No, it was rented on my credit card.
Well, you call the cops.
Didn't think of it. We were 20. Okay. knocked on his door. Yeah. The guy opens up his door, hands us the keys, drops it literally in our hands to the van with all our stuff, closes the door, and then you hear him deadbolt it. That was the last conversation I had with that dude.
Wow. Whoa. Is it someone I know?
No, this you've never met. I don't even know what this guy does.
Is he still in comedy? Probably not.
Who knows?
Probably
I won't say
used car business now.
Yeah. Or something. But we got left, though, so that's my getting left somewhere.
That sucks. How long? So you were? That's,
I was like 19, 20.
Yeah.
Or maybe I graduated from college.
Oh,
so
my
God. A little bit younger.
Well, let me ask this one. It's a good segue. Okay. Once you guys won Last Comic Standing, how much did it change, like, your road gigs and shit? Like, how much does it get better?
John, you won first. You go first.
You won season two. You won season...
Five. Yeah.
Season three was a wash season, right?
Yeah. I was on that season.
One versus two.
Yeah, exactly. And then four
and
was...
halfway through and said...
Yeah, for Alonzo. Poor Alonzo.
Alonzo won. We're not going to air it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Poor
and
Alonzo.
That season, season three, they wouldn't let me do anything from winning season two. Just on a side note. So, like, I was going to
be... What do you mean they wouldn't let you do anything?
Ellen, there was a bunch of TV shows that I was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, sitcom-y type stuff.
Yeah.
And NBC wouldn't let me because they said you had to do season three and it's not fair to the season three contestants if you have extra exposure. So, I didn't... I was actually a Last Comic winner for 2 weeks and didn't get to do any television because Alonzo won season three... Almost 3 weeks later. That was it. That's how fast that happened.
What? That's insane.
So
they wouldn't even let you.
They couldn't let you do guest starring roles?
No, they wouldn't let me.
Before everything. Wait, in the 3 weeks?
Yeah. So I won season two. Yeah. We started shooting season three the very next day.
Why?
But I didn't come back because I had to do like 700 radio shows and the Tonight Show.
Yeah, you just won.
So I had a day off. And then they go, you have to be back here the next thing.
Why the fuck wouldn't they start 6 months later?
No, they started 3 weeks.
I never knew that. I thought there was like a normal...
Yeah, so I was going to do like Ellen was the one that comes to mind and some other things, which, you know, make or break now 100 years later wouldn't have mattered, or maybe.
Well, it helps.
Right, who knows?
Well, get you started. But right. Those are big deals back then, regardless.
And then when you saw season three, I wasn't in any of the promos or nothing because they go, well, Heffern just won, so let's put light on other people. Then like... Why am I?
Why wouldn't they use the winner?
Go,
of the
why, or why would you let me just not be on it? Like, we tried to go, he's not going to show up. He's not going to. And how the contract worked.
Like, you had to.
NBC still had me for, like, I had to do whatever was quote unquote last comic for X amount of months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's still, I mean, it was 2 weeks later. So it was still.
That was always the fear that early on, the first year or two, people were like, I heard they own your material for a year, so you can't do that. And it never became a problem for anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's just regular contract lawyer stuff.
Yeah.
It's just sort of in there. Like, we owned this and this and this. And they have the word material in there. And everyone's like, but wait, material?
Yeah. That was our biggest thing. Like, yeah, I'm
you can't have that.
Material.
I've been doing that for 10 years.
But it
my pastrami joke?
No way.
It was my pastrami.
I've had that for 15.
I'm not going to switch that to bologna for you people.
But yeah. I would think even however long I've been on, like 6-7 years now, I'm still going strong. So it changed, you know.
It moved you up to like an A-level headliner, right?
Yeah, but before Last Comic, I had a Tonight Show and a half-hour special.
Okay, so you were already started.
Started, but who knows? I mean, you know, play that game all day long. But so I've done that before Last Comic. And then afterwards, it was crazy, crazy numbers, crazy everything, corporate world. And that's probably still the residual effect.
Corporate? You get a lot of corporate?
Oh, I do a lot of corporate stuff. So that's probably even now, this many years later, where people always go, yeah, sometimes you get dickhead tweets like, yeah, so you haven't done anything since Last Comic. Yeah. Really? Would you like to see my 1099? Would you like to see the money, like the corporate money? So you can...
Yeah, a lot of people think like if it's not Hollywood, it's nothing.
It's
well,
a lot
not even
of
that.
That
it's
I,
just also that why would you promote a corporate gig?
You don't.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
you don't put it on your calendar because it's a private thing.
Yeah.
So, well,
no one else is invited.
Look at your calendar. You're like, well, he's got nothing. We're like, well, he's got 8 corporate gigs, but I'm not going to tell you about it.
And then probably the hardest thing. So all that helped. The hardest thing is then I shot a special. Then immediately felt because I never repeated anything on Last Comic, and how I did.
Some people did.
I did.
I think so.
I did almost 14 5-minute sets on my whole shebang.
14 sets?
Because I got challenged.
I thought it was like 5. Oh,
challenges. I got challenged everything and I had to do season 3. And they made it when you got, we're going to get voted off. You had to do a 5-minute set before you found out, which was, I was the only season.
Before you found out what?
Like who went on? Who got voted off?
I forgot about that. They used to do the thing where it's like, okay, you lost the challenge, so now you can challenge anybody else. And
so we used to have to say, I'm funnier than, it was a whole thing. So I did a lot more sets.
I hated that.
Oh, it's the worst part. So
who gets to go on first? Do you decide or do they decide randomly?
I don't know how they picked it.
Because I'd pick someone who's also a dirty comic or something, just the exact same shit as me. I'm like, let me on first. I'm hitting all the subjects.
Yeah.
He'll have nothing to talk about when I get done. It's a good strategy.
Thanks.
I wish it would have a last comic standing on a HBO or Showtime or something where
we can actually
actually get dirty if they wanted to, you know.
I remember Voss's wife.
I would like to see that version, see what that would have been.
What's Voss's wife's name?
Bonnie McFarlane.
Bonnie McFarlane. Yeah. Sorry. But she said cunt, and people were like, oh, how can you say that on that? Like it bleeped it out.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't know, it's my joke. What's the difference?
Yeah.
It's a word I use. Who cares?
Looking back, I hate even thinking about the whole process. Obviously, it benefited me, but it almost starts to give me panic attacks if I think about having to go through something that again.
Did it change for you, too, after you won?
Yeah.
Before
Last Comic Standing, I had done a half hour on Comedy Central already.
Okay. For half hours, I used to think they meant, you're a superstar now.
But yeah, I used to think that, too.
Used to, though. Yeah. But, just the bar keeps changing.
I remember seeing somebody who had a half hour on my show at the 101 Cafe.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you doing this show in front of 6 people while there's diners about? shouldn't you be in your mansion?
Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought, too. And, doesn't work out that way.
But it helps. It helps.
It does help. I mean, it kind of gives you some street cred to have. Yeah, I got a half hour under my belt on Comedy Central. What do you got, you know?
Yeah.
So I had that. I had I think I had maybe 4 or 5 commercials with Dodge.
Oh, the Hemi stuff.
Already done. I had done.
That seemed like that would probably be more helpful to you than the half hour.
Money-wise, yeah.
But even like fame, like draw.
Well, that's the thing. The difference is with the Comedy Central half hour special, it says John Reap.
Oh.
With the commercials, it's just my face.
Yeah.
It's Dodge. It's Hemi. Who's the redneck guy? What's his name? The Hemi guy.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah, it's John Reap. That's why I tell everybody, if you're going to get a sitcom, name it after yourself.
Just put your name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that goes a long way later on, you know?
Yeah.
Because your name will never change unless you're
Seinfeld.
What's his face from the what's the basketball guy World Meta Peace?
Oh yeah, Meta World Peace.
Unless you change,
do you think like out of sight?
He's doing stand up now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He had a stand up tour. Seen it.
But let me finish this thought. Also, before that,
this is me hijacking.
I know. I put the brakes on real quick.
I won't hijack Ari's show. This part's Ari's show, so I'll shut up.
I did. I had done the Rodney Carrington sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
I had done
you had already done that?
Yeah. Like 2 seasons of that were already done. That show was canceled.
Especially in the South.
Yeah. So people have this I don't know. I think the Last Comic Standing show had an identity crisis. It kept changing what it was trying to do every year. One year, it's like we're looking for new, young, undiscovered talent. And then my season, they're like, no, we want road comics that have been around a while.
Was your season the one with Gabriel on it?
No, that was the 4th.
I remember Gabriel. No, I remember hearing Gabriel.
That was a cruise ship.
Got kicked out for sneaking a cell phone in and texting people.
Yeah, you're right. It was the 4th.
Like, it had to be cut off from contact with people. And he's like, fuck that. Here's my other cell phone. And I'm going to be texting away.
Yeah, poor guy. That was a big mistake. Look what's happened to him.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
I think he's working hard.
What's his last name? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he makes cakes.
Fluffy. I just remember the fluffy word.
Yeah, I think I follow him on Twitter just to be friendly. And I guess he makes cakes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think my season, it was more about, they said, we want to get, I was talked into it by T.J. Mark Walter.
Really?
You know, I would look at the show, and I liked it, but I also didn't like it. I liked it because it gave comedians primetime network spotlight.
Yeah, that part's great.
So that's good for all comedians.
I said this, too. It's like the Comedy Store, because I was working the door probably at the time when that started.
Yeah.
Attendance went up.
Yeah.
People, I was like, most people were like, stand-up comedy.
That's an option.
Yeah.
They didn't even think about it.
Just the art form got helped.
Yeah.
Just business in general.
Exactly.
Everybody.
So that, I liked it for that reason.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it because, you're watching, some comics you do, you're watching it, And, you know, you're on stage, you're supposed to be confident and cocky and not have a care in the world. And then you get done with your set, you look right into the camera, and you go, please vote for me. God. It just looks so desperate and American Idol-ish. I didn't like the reality side of that show.
Yeah.
I got lucky with ours, believe it or not, because it was season two.
Yeah.
Like that. Now this shows you how fast reality shows change.
Yeah,
there wasn't that much begging because there wasn't any other shows on where people begged a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, got to keep in mind, I was on even 7 years ago. Just the transformation of now everybody's so smart. Two and two vote for me, and they throw up their texting gang signs.
Tweet everybody,
which no one really. I mean, you would go, "Hey, I hope everyone did," but it wasn't. No one even knew to do that.
No, exactly. But just in general, it made it look weird and desperate, you know, as a stand-up. You know, when you're done, you're supposed to walk out.
They shouldn't allow
the audience
that.
Laughing, and you just walk off the stage, not hanging around going like, what'd you think, man? Open up for me.
That was always my problem with selling merch.
Yeah.
Where I don't want to be out there like, buy my T-shirt.
Right. Ugh. Yeah.
I got to get over it. But like,
some guys are cash. So good at it.
That's a problem.
Some guys are like, they make whole livings. Like, ever see Ralphie May sell stuff?
Uh-huh.
He accosts you. In a nice way.
No, he sort of stays there.
Like, he's with it, but if you walk by, he's like, hey, did you enjoy the show? Yeah. How come you're not getting a shirt then? Like,
really?
It's that whole thing, and then you just go, here's my 20. And he makes a crap ton and loves it.
Ralphie does this great thing at the end of his shows. Not even at the end. Like he stops like 20 minutes before the end of like a two-hour show, and then he'll be like, hey, everybody, I got shirts afterwards. I got this. I got this. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I know times are tough, so hugs are free. You just want to come and get a hug? You can totally have one. And everyone's like, oh, yeah.
That's smart because then they're
smart.
Then they hang out.
They're there.
They hug him. They're like, you know what? I will get one now.
All it takes is one nudge from your girl going like, give me that.
Right.
I saw a guy once. I was selling like DVDs and whatever I sold them for. Now I won't sell them.
Mm-hmm.
But this young comic had a CD that he made from his computer, took a Sharpie, whatever his name was. Wrote on the
CD.
The shittiest looking homemade whatever. So I have from a big distributor, a DVD thing, and it's all packaged nice. And he literally goes, whatever you guys want to give me.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, so.
Because it cost him 50 cents a piece.
He outsold me by 100. Like, so,
what do you mean?
So people.
Total.
If you go
sales?
Cost to me,
money.
People would give me $20. Yeah. I want the DVD. Some people would look at him and go, really anything? And he'd go, yeah, whatever. Some people give him $2.
Yeah.
Right.
I also saw people give him 20.
Yeah.
So his cost on average on a shit thing that cost 50 cents, he outsold me by hundreds of percentages.
I've done something similar to that where I ran out of my CD
because
I didn't bring enough or something. And I go, fuck, I've got like two more shows Saturday and I have nothing to sell. So I'd go to like Rite Aid and buy a bunch of blank CDs and just bootleg my own stuff from my laptop and just write like with that guy, put my name on it. And then at the end of the show, I'd go like, this is how dumb I am, you guys. I didn't bring enough. But today, all day, I sat in my hotel room and I burned copies of my own. I bootlegged my own shit. No one else in the world has these but you guys. If you want, I made it very valuable, you know, and I've already signed them all and everything. And I sold a lot of them, but that's a pretty smart thing what that guy was doing. It's like, whatever you want to give me.
Oh, okay, then I tried it at the Irvine. I had T-shirts, right?
But wait, there's more.
And I tried selling T-shirts, and it was the worst experience ever. Never do it again. Didn't feel like selling the shirts.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, whatever you guys want to give me
right.
for the shirts, right? They're kind of cool shirts. You don't need to see my act to get it. It was just done kind of classy.
Whatever you want to give me.
The most money somebody handed the shirt was $4.
Right.
Four?
People giving the guy $1, giving him $2. Like, I'm like, what the it totally backfired.
You're losing money.
Yeah.
This
is not working. One person gave like $10. Well, this says a lot with how the shirt looked and or the damage on it. So that's good.
You don't have any merch?
No, I got to get. I asked people today like to help me design a 2012 tour shirt.
What about this is like a CD of your act?
I made a CD. I'm editing it now with Rooftop.
You should do a CD.
I did.
I think good. I just think it's easier.
Yeah.
Because when you deal with shirts, you got to think of sizes.
Yeah. I have a way easier time selling my CD, too.
Yeah.
I asked Carla Bove this once. Remember Carla Bove?
Yeah. I love Carla Bove.
We went to San Diego together. And I was like, you don't feel weird about, like, this is fucking 10, 11 years ago. And I still haven't gotten over it. I'm like, you don't feel weird about selling merchandise after a show? He goes, I would if it was, like, a keychain.
Right.
That said, like, you know, whatever it is, just some schmendricky thing. But he goes, But he's like, this is my CD. This is what I work on.
This is my art.
I'm totally proud
of it. This is why you came here to begin with.
I'm super proud of it. So I'm totally cool selling that to people.
Exactly. That's the mentality you got to have.
Yeah.
That's why I think a CD would be better.
Yeah. And also, it's like, so I can like have a reason to stop doing this material and then just move on to new material.
Yeah, exactly. And have other,
That helps.
A way of retiring it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that definitely helps because I'm going through that now where I've stopped selling my DVD and then you're like,
why'd you stop selling it?
Just don't feel like it anymore.
Oh. You mean you don't sell anything after a show anymore?
Done.
Or just the DVD?
Just don't do it.
I sit out there and I sell the DVD and I say hello to everybody who came and, and do all that. And sometimes that's more exhausting than the show itself.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like selling anymore.
I know. I go through phases where I'm like, I want to make sure I got everything I have merch-wise.
I want to
get a booth with a whole background.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I got... like, I just want to get out of here and go home.
Oh, yeah,
so
there's
tired.
That too.
I just want to get people, like, my goal is on mail where I give away. I have 4 albums on iTunes, and I think I give away almost all of them if you get on my mailing list. You know, and then on stage, I have a way people can text to get into that.
Yeah.
And then they get the links to download everything for free.
So then people can come to your show more.
I would rather just to go to develop that thing. Or you could do it with your podcast.
Yeah.
You go, hey, you guys want 20 minutes of shit I didn't talk about? Do this. And then... on that free link is how to get out all your iTunes podcasts.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Then it turns into more you're promoting yourself than just being a comic.
Yeah. The reason I got into this is so I could, well, it's not the reason, but the nice part of it is so I can just do drugs and fuck young women. It's like all the promotion shit. That seems like work.
That's basically the reason why anything's ever invented to begin with or any man does anything at all is just to get laid at some point.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I started comedy. I was just trying to get laid.
Really?
Yeah.
I got into comedy because of 21-year-old drunk girls, and I will get out of comedy because of 21-year-old
right.
Would be the exact reason why I'm like, I'm done.
For the exact
I can't handle your dumbness, snapping your gum during my show or texting the whole time. I can't handle that.
It's changed, definitely. How come you – did you ever think about going up for Last Comic, or did you?
I did this last time. It was a nightmare.
What happened?
Well, because I know everybody told me that, like, Ari, you should do it this year. They're going like legitimate. They're getting like super like respectable like judges.
Right.
They're like, we don't know who yet, but the list they gave me is like, this is what I was told.
Was this the year that my season?
No, this was this past year. When
this past
who
year?
Won?
Oh, with Felipe Esparza won.
Felipe won. Yeah.
Okay.
It was really funny. It just made me happy.
Yeah.
That he won, but like. I was like, okay, maybe, sure. And so then I heard they got Greg Giraldo to be a judge. I'm like, oh, I like him. And then Kindler. I was like, that's great. And they were looking for another one. And then I didn't know till I got there, but the third judge was an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now I remember you told me this.
People
oh, my
were coming
God.
Out of the improv man to the lab. Like, oh, you know who the third judge is, right? I'm like, no. They said they were looking. They're like, Natasha. I was like, there's no way.
Oh.
Come on. Not like Maria Bamford or Sarah Silverman or something. And
no.
Like, no. And I was like, no way. And then more and more people saying it. I was like, oh, fuck.
Did it end bad with Natasha?
It ended super bad. I'm a horrible ex-boyfriend. I've tried to be better. I'm a good boyfriend, but a horrible ex-boyfriend.
Did she say anything to you on the show?
No. She at the time, too, I'd already made the decision of like, ugh, I don't care about this anymore. I've painted myself in such a corner because I was such an asshole that I'm like, I've got to make a phone call and just say, hey, I'm really sorry.
Right.
I hope we can put it behind us, but if you don't want to forgive me, that's totally cool.
Right.
I already made that call with Bobby Lee.
Uh-huh.
You know? And I'm like, I'm just trying to end these horrible, like, when I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Just be mad for the sake of being mad. But I hadn't made the call yet.
Right.
So it's just like, fuck. And then I got super nervous in my head, and whatever bit I decided to do about, like, traffic or something light, I was like, no, change it. Do anti-homeless people material. Like, super harsh. That relies on an audience. You have no fucking audience.
Yeah.
There's a camera guy in the back laughing.
Oh, God. That's the worst.
Which, if I had to do it again, I would focus on the camera guy in the back.
Yeah.
I would focus on the grips that are there and just do it for them. Instead of these three people with their hands in front of their face judging you.
Yeah. I mean, that will never happen outside of a show like that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like at the Comedy Store, three people.
I remember this. I told you about it, and you were like, well, you should be used to going in front of three people.
Right.
I'm like, not three people I know.
No, right.
One of whom I've seen naked, right. You know.
Yeah, who's still mad at you.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, this isn't, and they're judging me. They are on camera as they're looking at you. So they're trying to act.
Ugh. So.
She was fine. She was like, Giraldo was like, ah, it's too mean, that bit. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
It was nice.
So she wasn't extraordinarily mean or anything.
Yeah, but I have like 30 seconds into it, I had that bombing cold sweat.
Yeah.
Of like, this is going terribly.
God, I hate that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, just the fly. And just like, oh. And then when they were like, all right, that's good. I was like, oh, thank you. And then like, Giraldo was giving me feedback. And he goes, I got to say no. I was like, oh, all right. thought that was a given. I didn't realize I had to get Kindler Dates to feedback. He also said no.
Uh-huh.
And then she was like, yeah, those other two guys said no, so it doesn't really matter what I say.
Yeah. That one audition.
How do you think, John, how do you think you would have done
is retarded.
In front of those three judges? Because you didn't have judges, right?
No, I did. I had Alonzo Bowden.
Okay. Yes, I didn't want to get Ant.
Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah.
And I had Ant.
That's, I'd be like, fuck this. I remember Caprillo not, he's cool. I don't care. I'll say it.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm not fucking letting Ant judge me. Because I'm not letting some comic that I'm clearly better than.
Well, like, Caprillo was auditioning in my season.
Yeah.
No, Ant, Kathleen, and Alonzo.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to talk him into it because he was supposed to do it here. And then he's like, he went to the showcase, said, fuck this, and left. And they're like, please drive to Tempe. And just do it. So he did.
Well, what did they? How did they react to you?
Luckily, I already know Alonzo.
That helped.
We had the same college agent for years, and so we were always friendly to each other. You know? Good. He's a good guy, and he liked me. Blah blah blah.
Alonzo's cool.
Kathleen Madigan, I've always respected her.
She's a legit comic. I like her. I like hilarious. Watching her.
But see, those three judges are completely different than the other three judges, except for Geraldo.
If I had those three judges,
there's no way you would have went.
I don't think
they would have said no to you.
Oh yeah, there was definitely an alternative slant.
I think they would have said no, rednecky stuff. It's been done. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like 100%. I think this has been done. You're like, what?
Right.
You got to watch somebody in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta.
It's dumb.
We perform based on the idea that people will be watching us. Right. We don't do it. I know Harlan did a special. I just heard this in the woods in Canada.
No shit.
He's like, fuck it. I'll do it for the trees.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
how does that work?
Harlan
like,
Williams is crazy.
I know.
And hilarious. He does weird shit. Yeah, he just went and did a spell. I got to look for it.
So you hear like ambient noise and him doing jokes?
Chirping.
Is he waiting? Is he like letting the crickets laugh?
I don't know. I know he did some jokes about the trees themselves. I heard he might have done crowd work on one or two of the trees or some insects.
But with no crowd.
No crowd.
Well, it's basically just like doing, you know, like a monologue. I mean, like your own sort of radio show.
But
with
if
no
you're
one
watching
else,
it as a
no
special,
crowd should sound more like David Sedaris than a comedy show.
Right, it's like an audio book.
Yeah, I like to interact with the crowd a little bit.
Yeah,
I like to be like, you guys, funny, must know, you know what? Just like talk to specific people.
But I
That's
could see
do
him
comedy.
Doing that to the trees, like you just said, where he's actually like talking to like, where are you from?
Stumpy, look at you.
That's the thing I admire most about Louis C.K.'s new special, where he goes to film it, and he's sitting in back. And he's just like, fuck it. Let's start this thing. No, here's your special music. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
Right.
Like, none of that.
Yeah.
And I guess he just walks up.
Yeah.
Just walks up and starts talking. So people are sitting there and suddenly they're like, wait, what? It started?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
We were going to clap like, for you when you came out, but we didn't know.
None of that. I'm like, God, that's so ballsy.
That's funny.
I'm going to try to do
I
that's one
seen
of my,
it yet.
My things for this year.
The Louis C.K. show. I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
Did you pay for it?
To say
it's okay if you didn't, because he said, please don't
steal shit. I steal shit. That's what I do. That's how I get stuff online. I steal it. That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, if you can get it free.
What did he say? Please what?
Well, in one of his interviews on late night television or something, he said, I put it on my website, and I just put, look, and I know people will probably steal it.
Yeah.
I just put on there, hey, man, you know, this is this much. Please don't.
Please don't steal it.
Please don't steal it.
Yeah.
But I know people will.
That's just, I know. It's just like, I don't stand by it. It's stealing. I'm not going to be like, well, they shouldn't charge so much. So I wouldn't. Yeah. Fuck that. It's stealing. but it's like, yeah, I steal.
That's because
I used to shoplift
from
Best Buy.
There's not a cop right there.
Records. Why would I not?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's easier on your computer.
I'm just in the mood of doing. That's just how I do things. Music.
Yeah.
Everything. And if he had a special on HBO, I'd steal it from HBO. It wouldn't matter. I steal.
There he said it
it's
from
quicker,
a horse's
it's
mouth.
It's easier. Somebody told me about that South Park documentary, and as I was talking, I was like, uh-huh, I should get that. Sounds interesting. Before our conversation was done, you just hear, finish downloading.
I'm surprised. You could probably get on Hulu right now anyway. A lot of the stuff that you're saying you can steal is probably free anyway
somewhere else.
It's
easier without Hulu. No commercials. There's not that one commercial. I don't
you
have
go
to
like the
anything.
Torrent sites and stuff?
Yeah, BitTorrents. I wanted to name my album, but Rooftop was like, we're probably not going to do that. I wanted to name it BitTorrent This Album.
BitTorrent This.
Yeah, and they were like, we're not going to be advising people to steal this.
Yeah, no. We need to make our money, too.
If you had Torrent in your name or your title, though, you don't have any Google searches or times it would pop up?
Really?
Yeah,
that'd
just
be good.
Because that word probably gets
right.
Googled a lot.
Yeah. Nigger hate torrent Obama economics.
Yes, yeah. You literally, of the Sleepy Hollows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Trending right now, Ari's new album.
Harry Potter.
Kardashian.
Kardashian slash Tebow.
Lose weight, big asses. Yeah. Stop smoking. Big dick. Big dick.
But yeah, but you have to make sure that Ari's first and Shafir's last to put all that stuff in the middle. Or you
what do they call those when you upload something? It's, I don't know, when you upload a video, it's like...
Keywords?
Is that what it is? Keywords or tag?
Not tags? Tags.
Tags, yeah. Exactly. So you just have your whole album... Ari Shafir, right in the middle, it's all tags.
In the early days of internet sites, I remember everyone who designed them, all my nerd friends and my brother-in-law, they would, like, the secret is tag it with as much shit as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Tag XXX porn.
Right.
Anything you can possibly think of. Ha-ha, funny, comedy, comedic.
Right.
Anything someone might enter, you want your shit coming up early.
Yeah. Do people still do that?
Or it'd be this, too. They go, funny, 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 funny. So if you tag... If you Google funny, yours will come up higher because you had 7 funnies in yours.
It's like the phone book where you're A.
They eventually got rid of that.
Cooling.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Did you guys get anybody like who tortured you on Last Comic Standing? What are the comics who fucking didn't like you and you didn't like them? It's been a while.
It has been
I know
a while.
You might not want to talk about it. Just fucking talk about it anyway.
Oh, I will. Go ahead.
It was difficult.
And I can see it being difficult.
On mine. And that's probably my biggest regret, even though nobody...
He's a queen.
Nobody gives a shit. Yeah, definitely. And hides behind her sexuality, so you never have the option of just knocking him the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's like hitting a girl.
Oh, he plays that homophobia card a lot.
You know what I mean? That's probably my biggest regret is, even though now...
Not punching him on your show?
Yeah. Wow. And now nobody gives a shit, and everyone's moved on in their lives.
Yeah.
But I still...
That would have made headlines.
Aunt literally convinced me to throw Bonnie McFarlane under the bus when we were doing...
He convinced you to?
Yes. And that was... We're all going to go against you, even Kathleen Madigan, and you'll have to go up against her if you don't... vote with us. You know how you do that Survivor? There was a little bit of gameplay if you didn't want to be challenged.
I remember Tammy doing that, talking about her dying father or something, or my father's sick and crying into the camera a bunch. I'm like, well played.
Yeah. Oh, it's bitch. Completely
well smart.
Like, it's you know, there is that part of the
story behind
of that part of the thing.
That shouldn't be part of it.
I know. That's the part I didn't like. But no one watches straight
stand-up. And that's the weird part with comics, because as general, comics don't...
What?
I mean...
We're usually over it. We're like, I'm not playing that.
That's what I mean. That's what makes it...
Yeah.
I couldn't even make a tape for years. People like, send me a tape. Like, nah.
That's a lot of work.
Nah, I'm not going to... They can probably come see me.
I'm going to find someone to edit it.
Yeah. I'll just not.
Yeah.
No, you know what? You know how I am, man.
You're really nice.
I get along with everybody.
Uh-huh.
I don't let anything bother me. If I do, I don't talk about it. But
your emotions inside?
Got on my nerves. I don't.
Yeah, I know why. You never take things on the chin because
I just don't give a shit. I don't know.
Let's try to get him to cry. Let's have an Oprah moment right here.
You're talking about no lips. I don't have lips.
That's what it is.
Yeah. On my season. The top five
let's go back a second. How do you not let stuff bother you? Like, people always say that, but there's a strategy. Like, do you say something to yourself?
Well, because
to go fuck that guy and then you're over it. Like, what? How do you?
If I know it's not
both
going
of you are
to,
the same way. So ask both.
Yeah, you got a little bit of that too.
I've gotten there, but go.
Yeah, I'm happy with where my real life is.
Uh-huh.
It's right here with the wife and the two dogs and this nice house.
Yeah,
and I know that I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
So when people say mean shit or just something negative to me, I know it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day.
It doesn't take away your wife.
She's still here.
Yeah.
They say if you really get pissed off at something or something really bothers you, it's because
you know it's true.
You can't be angry. Well, you can't be angry without fear. So if you get really angry and somebody's saying some shit about you, there is a little bit of fear that that's true.
It might be true. That's what Stefano told me. You only take those people into account because
you think it's true what they say. Right.
And which I'm not giving any credit to anybody or even coming close to saying what I want to say, because it'll – per our conversation we had a couple days ago when we're watching the thing, there was a thing. Now that I think that that's – if you remember what I said.
You get mad at people on Twitter sending you shitty comments.
Yeah, but I'm like, maybe that's true.
Oh, right. So that's your. Well, so that's why
it bothered you, because you thought there might be truth.
Not because of the coward douchebag, well, because or whatever. Not because of the actual.
Here's why I've become like really honest. I just get to this point, and it's not so much the happiness, but just when I don't care about hiding anything. My feeling is like, if I'm embarrassed about it, change your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not embarrassed about it, then own up to it. Who fucking cares?
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to tell my mom I go to hookers, but like, but like. You know, I'm not afraid of telling anybody else. She'll probably listen to this and know
I've been
to hookers
before. But then
before.
There you go.
Yeah.
Your mom doesn't listen to Last Podcasting. Now, this is also airing on yours. Podcast. We can't be responsible for that. But we know on our end, she's not going to hear it.
Right.
So you're safe. You're safe. If you want to talk in the Last Podcasting, you can say whatever you want.
I get to like, yeah, where it's like, this doesn't affect me. And it's just, I just know statistics. You're allowed to not like me.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Not everyone will.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
There are people I don't like. And they didn't do anything wrong to me. I just don't take to their aesthetic or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's not like they just shouldn't feel bad about it. I compare it to this. If you're a fine chef, like one of the best chefs in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you can make me this awesome plate of halibut, but I'll be like, hey bro, I don't like fish. Yeah. And you'd be like, do you know who I am? Like, you can be whoever the fuck you want.
I don't
like fish.
It's a fish, dude.
Yeah, you're not gonna get me.
I don't hate you.
Yeah.
I just don't like this dish.
Great cook, yeah.
Make something better.
It's funny with
without fish.
So if I'm happy with my stand-up, I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm happy with who I am.
So it's the little comments like that.
It's funny, not just me, but just Twitter's just kind of that that mind frame where it's amazing how many bands I don't like, and I never think about them.
Yeah, you don't think about them at all.
Like, I never think about going to this band that I will never see.
Just say, fuck you, and I hate you.
Hey, fucking Warrant, or, you know, or that's
like,
even...
Oh, whoa, you don't like Warrant?
Yeah, no, I love Warrant.
When they're brought up, you just go, nah, I'm not a fan of that.
Or I don't even think about it. I would never go, where are they? Because I'm going to let them know I will not see them in Orlando when they are there. Like, I never, it's amazing that comics people, which actually shows,
there's
something about you that when you see me, you want that.
Yeah.
What
you're doing is you're taking a guy who wouldn't act normal, who wouldn't go, oh, I just would never tell them. You're taking a guy who's just an asshole, and you'll be like, well, let me lend credence to what he's saying. Who reads YouTube comments? Nobody. Nobody that I know.
Yeah, I won't say for the record, I am not fake or gay.
Right.
Because that's the one I see all the time.
Oh, you're gay, you're fake?
No, just fake and gay.
Really?
Just those two words. It's like saying sick and tired. You can't say sick without saying and tired, like, you know, Bill Cosby bit.
They call you fake and gay?
No. There's one video I have where it's me as a cop, and I pull over Mark Ryan. I don't know if I've shown this before.
Yeah,
I've seen, and so it looks real. So everyone wants to say fake.
Oh, fake.
But then they put fake and gay. Fake and gay. Fake and gay. Everything's fake and gay. That's the number one comment.
Talk before
and I laugh at it every time. I go,
myself.
It is fake. I guess it's kind of gay. I don't know.
Like, it's clearly fake. I wasn't trying to fool anybody.
Right. That's why I have johnreap.com on the top of it.
Actually, I told my wife, because I wanted to do a thing after my show where I give people free shit if they text the thing, but I also ask them a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, just because I spend a lot of money on Facebook for ads and stuff, and I just want to – this year, figure out what's worth it. How do people actually get to show up where you are?
Like, you really worry about this stuff, huh?
You got it for numbers, because every year numbers go down.
It's good business.
That's what he does all the time. He's touring around.
And your numbers, it's all on you. So that's one thing about when you tour a lot. If the club is empty, it's your fault. If the club is full, the club has a really good PR firm.
Right.
Like, they never give you any
credit for it.
So you have to. And then I was going to go, I'll ask people if they saw me on Facebook or Twitter. And then I'll ask them, what was their favorite part of the show? What was the part they didn't like? And I told my wife this. Ari goes, why the fuck would you care? why do they get to dictate? And then I had the whole way drive home, I'm like, why am I being such a pussy? Like, they don't get to dictate what they listen
I'm
to me.
More like, about church or something. Like,
it's not a choose your own venture. People, do you want me to tell the dry cleaner to fuck off? Or do you want me to just, how do you want me to handle this bit?
Did you like the closing bit? Yeah.
I know. So I actually took that to heart.
Yeah. His head.
I was at the Laugh Factory. I had a story that doesn't have an ending yet. And so I was telling it, and then it kind of dropped off at the end. It was really good response the whole way through, and then it drops off at the end. I was like, you know what? That story needs a fucking ending.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys can feel that, right? It just fucking plummeted at the end.
And then
they all started cheering. And I'm like, no. I wasn't asking for applause. Stop. This feels so bad. Stop.
Right. What do you say before we start talking? I think because we're going to talk about material or whatever. You said that – it's my brain frying right now. You said you had an idea.
I'm trying to write a new hour this year.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, I'm trying to chuck every old joke I've ever done and write a brand new hour this year.
Okay, so how are you going to do that minute by minute? You have 60 minutes.
I don't have 60 minutes.
Okay,
but you of old stuff.
17 minutes now.
Let's say you have to do an hour show.
Okay,
right?
I got to bring in some old stuff for the hour.
Yeah. So, but what's your
ratio?
Toss out expiration dates. How do you do it?
Well, it was always like if I don't feel like doing it anymore, if I get bored with it, if it's totally no longer me, then it's like,
right.
Yeah, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something about being broke, it's like I'm not broke, so it feels sort of fake. Or I have to say I used to be. But, yeah, just stuff you get tired of. I don't know. You get tired of a bit and you stop doing it normally.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
Bring it out once in a while.
My brain's all over the place. I was talking to – I went hiking with a comic. And we're like if some comics got together like old school and actually helped each other.
Yeah.
Not that at all for one thing.
Yeah.
You could crank out – you not believe how much material. Like if the three of us went every Sunday we're going to meet – and you're going to leave with
crazy.
With a 5-minute chunk.
It's like he intercepted our text message the other day.
Yeah, you're going to go, you're going to leave with five, you're going to leave with five. Every Sunday, you'd have a new hour.
Al and Kevin did this for a while. Where they meet once a week, just a new joke night, new joke day.
And you help them, but not like, oh my God, boy, I should save this for. If you go, what are you working on, Ari?
Yeah.
Here's the, you know what you should
talk
say there?
Talk about a bit.
Say
like,
this
yeah.
exact, and then you literally.
You also tell them what angles to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say
you're
it's about some job, and they'll be like, hey, have you considered what your parents thought of that job? Like, oh, that's a whole bunch
right.
of stuff I
and
can
you'd
get
have
into.
Two different perspectives, especially if you had.
That you would never think of doing.
Like, I come at jokes differently than John or differently than you, and you could always...
I text him. This is why I'm like,
it's amazing.
I can't wait to tell you. That. I was texting Ari not too long ago, and I said, dude, we need to start, like, a group of, like,
5-minute club.
Good headliner comedians. We get together, and we call it the League of Extraordinary Comedians. And it's like the Jedi Mind Council.
I think we need to start a secret club. When was this? This is December 28th, not even that long ago.
Too long ago. Read it. What does
ago?
It say?
I think we need to start a secret club for well-established and respected comedians. We get together and help each other out. Call it the League of Extraordinary Comedians. And I said, okay, that could be helpful. People would feel left out as fuck, though, the people we didn't.
Yeah, like me, because I'm not part of this text. Yeah? Like
well,
right
you're
now?
In it now.
We're
just
like
doing.
Right
we
now?
Haven't invited anyone.
Just so far, it's just, we're just brainstorming.
And he goes, right, secret club.
Secret club.
I was like,
well,
yeah, okay,
it's out of the bag now for whoever's listening to this. But I did something like that for a while with Dan French is a guy, and then there was Chip Chinnery. When I first came out here, he was like the commercial king. He was in every freaking commercial and so we would all get together at like this Italian restaurant and sit around and eat food and figure out, hey, how can you help me? How can you help me? And
it's called Mastermind.
That didn't last very long.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Tell this booker about me, but I'm not going to tell you. Because it's like none of us feel comfortable enough to be like, you should definitely book this guy.
The problem was we weren't all like good friends. We were just and they're like, well, why would I help you? Because I don't
super
think you can
helpful.
Help me.
David, I'm telling everybody I'm doing it because I'm like, I want to have to stick to it.
Yeah.
The new hour. I don't want to like just
yeah,
like, you
I'm
know,
trying.
Let it go. I'm telling people, I'm forcing myself to be like, I'll
that's
be embarrassed
good.
If I don't.
That's the best way to get it done.
But yeah, the other day, David Taylor was like, watch, you want me to watch your stuff? I'm like, absolutely. Any advice you have, absolutely tell me. If
I
you,
love
if you feel
that.
Like sitting in here, totally.
Yeah. I've been doing
David Taylor, not David Tell.
I've been doing a lot
I do that the feature act sometimes. You know, when you go to a club and they just, there's some random feature that, you know, you didn't bring your own feature. And if we hit it off, I'll go like, if you don't mind, you know, sit back and watch. And if you got something you want to give me, I'd love
it
to take
four,
it.
Five, six times.
And sometimes so the guy's like, I'd love for to get John Reaper to use one of my jokes, you know.
Yeah.
So they do it anyway because they, you know, they want to help and they're fans to begin with. So that's,
Rogan and I would do that to each other a lot where it's like, just offer a tagline, like maybe.
Yeah,
this goes.
That's what I'm talking about. Just
and then when you see them do your joke, you feel like, yeah,
yeah.
Mine,
you sit
that.
Back and like, oh, come on, this is the part he's going to say, yes, and it
did.
Worked.
Yeah,
it's nice to see your work do well. Someone else doing it. Yeah,
yeah. And sometimes
easier. Let's say steal it.
Watch other people and help. Sometimes it's easier to help other people.
Help someone else. Yeah, it's punch up to do your own.
Than to do your own.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to punch up
because I have three subjects my whole life. If you watch any that I talk about,
what is it?
Same three things. Getting older, remember when, and relationships, okay? Mm-hmm. So basically those three things.
Yeah.
I have hours of material in each subject.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get on stage, I go 15, 15, 15 is kind of my mind thing. I'm going to do remember when's, some relationship shit. Hey, I'm getting older. What's with being 25? And I'm still
right.
But in each hour, but I never know which way I'm going to go. So the shows are always different, and you can always write. But then this year I went, I'm sick of talking about those three things. But, you know, so now it's a voice thing. You're like, well, what? I can't suddenly be dirty comic guy because my fans would be like, what the fuck? You talking? So you're like, what do you?
Are you guys bound by your fans at all? Like,
I am. You know what? You really feel like that after a while. You're like, well, these are the people who like me.
Yeah.
Why lose those people?
Right.
If you don't have to. And so part of you go like, well, they already like this bit, this bit, this bit. I should branch off from those and create more things similar to it so as not to lose those. So, yeah, you kind of feel like that. But I don't think, you know.
They like you, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, so once they are John Reap fans, they'll show up and they'll pretty much.
Yeah, I know, but you feel bad. Like, oh.
I'll tell you one thing, Ari. So when I was on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
I had, you know, already done the Comedy Central stuff. But when you're on primetime network TV, you have to be clean. I mean, that's just the way it is. You've got to be clean. Now, people see you on TV, and there are people thinking, they're like, oh, I like him. He's clean. I'm tired of all these other comedians.
That's what I heard.
They're saying GDMF every time, you know. And so finally, we got a comedian, and he's clean, and I can't wait to go see him. And then, like, but I'm not always.
Yeah.
You've seen me at the Comedy Store.
You're regular.
I'll do whatever.
You're on the cleaner side. But like,
yeah, but it's not like I'm. You know, I don't go out of my way.
Yeah.
I'm not being clean for like any moral reason. I know that I'll be on TV more if I am.
Yeah.
So people come out to see you, and then you know, I'm doing a bit now where I end up humping the mic stand for 10 minutes. Then it's like, well, who is he? I didn't know he didn't do that on Last Comic Standing. You can tell.
You can't worry about it if you really want to do it.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying.
I'm lucky because if I do a clean bit. Like one clean bit, nobody's gonna be like, "What the fuck, man?"
Yeah, what's your problem? You sold out, man.
Why'd you do a bit about?
I'll just sort of do whatever I want, and they're like, "Yeah, this is what I'm thinking about." So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. You feel like you should.
You do get
sort of play to
the
your
crowd.
Fans,
yeah.
But at the same time, there's that old school comedian. You go like, "Fuck that, man! I should do
there's
what I want
to
do."
There's ways to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways.
It should
like,
be a medium of both.
I've been doing not a lot. I've done a couple seminars where I've been really
seminars.
Yeah,
Jesus, you're
I know that sounds old as shit. Where I
blows
done,
my mind every time I see him. He just came back from another freaking conference.
Where
or
I do speaker training for executives, and there's all this psychology stuff and stuff you do with your voice and how to anchor the stage. So. My thing this year is there's a way that you can anchor your alter ego where I literally on stage tell them, hey, you know what? I just did a bit about your mom cutting your hair, but I have a dirtier side that I never know how to throw in.
Yeah.
And then you could stand on one part of the stage or touch the mic a certain way or hold it differently where you can become the bizarro you and you'll have the freedom to go. Don't you hate it when you fart and you're watching a porn and you think the smell comes from that ass and it makes it all. Like you
can That's a good point.
You can, yeah.
It really is.
Right? And you
I
have
hate
to change
that.
The scene.
That's what Otto and George does.
What?
Otto and George, the filthy puppet.
Yeah.
He's always like, hey. He's always like apologizing for his puppet. Like,
oh, right,
come
right,
on, man.
Right.
Keep it clean.
Yeah.
And he's just the worst things ever. He can let the puppet say.
Yeah.
But there's ways. But I also like, enjoy, like, you can dirty up a clean bit easier than making a dirt. Like, if you do a corporate event, you can take out all the shits and fucks and still have the bit be about mom haircuts.
Right.
But if it's a rougher crowd, you can just go, did you fucking hate when your mom?
Yeah. If the subtext, if the whole subject matter was anal rape, it's hard
tough.
To clean that up.
Yeah.
I got into one. They were doing the Laugh Factory, like the 80-hour marathon comedy.
Yeah,
And I was like, you know what? I want to be part of that. It's kind of sort of cool.
Yeah, I hate I missed out on that. I would have loved to have stepped in there.
So they would have definitely had you if it just.
Yeah,
said,
I think I was on the road or something.
But so I was up at like 5 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever it was. A bunch of homeless people were in there and a few writing audience members. But they were like, keep it clean because we're broadcasting this to a children's hospital. And that got to me, even though it wasn't gonna be. There's no kids that are up at 4 a.m. Whatever, but it got to me. So I tried to be clean. And then I'm doing bits, and I'm like, I'm on my knees, and I'm about to say, like, this is called a rape crouch. And I'm like, oh, can't say that. I'm like, this is a danger crouch.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, it's not as good.
Yeah. It ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What is your puss level? What were you going to say?
Oh, no. It was just.
What happened to your puss level after Last Comic Standing?
Well, I was engaged.
Oh, you already with her?
Yeah.
Oh,
so was I.
Sucks.
What?
That sucks.
Couldn't use any of it for that.
I literally.
Wugga.
No, I got engaged, man, 3 or 4 weeks before I auditioned for Last Comic. and I was flying from Tampa to Michigan. Yeah. Last comic auditions was in Nashville, mm-hmm. and I lay over on the flight.
Yeah.
And I changed my flight to go audition, and I figured
that's a good move.
I'll audition just since they're in Nashville, mm-hmm. and then I'll fly out later anyway. And so I was on the pilot of Last Comic though, with me, Stanhope, and some other people. The pilot for Last Comic. It was called Comic House.
Oh, really?
For the executives.
They just did one to... Stanhope did it?
Me and Stanhope, we did for a weekend.
Wow, that's interesting. I never heard of that.
It's called Comic
House.
That's pretty cool.
To me, it'd be cool to see a bunch of comics living in the same house together. That part would be cool. But the fact that it's a contest, that sort of ruins it.
It stressed you out, man.
Yeah, if it's
more of a big brother thing.
Hey,
whoever fights, fights.
We were engaged, and then I got... did I win? I got married on Saturday, and then one last comic on Tuesday. It was the craziest week of literally my life.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, they should just have... Wow. So did you get hit on a lot? Did that go up?
I was engaged even before Genta.
Yeah.
I was engaged...
Someone else?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been with, like, Genta. Wait, before Genta, I got one other girl.
Does she know this, or should you be talking on Ari's podcast
where she doesn't listen to?
She's
upstairs anyway.
Okay. No, I'm saying, though. Like, there's three. Yeah.
In general.
Step over right now.
Right.
You're listening to...
That Skeptic side of the couch. That's Skeptic Tank. Over here is Les podcasting, and I did say it on our side.
Okay, so. Perfect.
But no, yeah, she knows. Yeah, she knows. I was engaged once before.
Yeah.
And that was during that whole thing. That was Hemi stuff. That was Comedy Central. You know, then that ended. And then this, I mean, when that ended, the old one, I told myself, I'm stepping up my game.
I'm going to go nuts right now.
I'm going to go and get the hottest.
Really?
I'm tired of these sixes and fives. I'm actually going to look for eights. I was always. Get the easiest thing in the bar, whatever that is.
Uh-huh.
That's what I always used to do.
The drunk fat check.
Yeah, whatever that is. And then so.
And you stepped it up.
And I was like, I'm tired of that. I think it's time for me to actually attempt to get eights, nines, and tens.
And you think that was because of the Hemi stuff and the?
It gave me confidence. People were coming up to me and talking. Hey, I think you're funny. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, there's a hotter chick behind you who likes me too.
Who
so maybe I'll go talk
to
her. Yeah. So.
You're like, it's no offense, but I'm a little shallow, and I'd rather get that.
It's exactly what it is.
You're both equally cool.
Right.
I don't know you. So.
That's true.
I think like even though I got married, engaged, and then went from my money changed from a bazillion, right? So it was like, oh, what's gonna? And then suddenly, last comic, but we couldn't work like 3 or 4 months because we were filming the whole time. So like the theater across from Last Comic, I went to pay for me and my wife and some other comics. In an out burger, my credit card was declined. I won Last Comic 2 hours later.
Oh, that's
But I went because I was just like, I was in that place of, I don't give a fuck about the show. I'm broke as fuck. Like, what's going to happen? Like, it was one of those.
You knew you were already in the final five, so you'd have that tour coming, right?
No, we didn't have a tour.
Oh, you didn't do that yet? You did it.
You guys didn't have one?
No, they didn't.
There was no tour?
They didn't do that with us.
Yeah, I had a
tour. Huge thing. If you get the final five, you go on this tour. And how much do you make per gig on that?
Jay Moore kept going on our show.
It was different for
Yeah, I guess so. But it was like 20.
It was good. It was good.
It's like you're gonna make $100,000. You're gonna make something. Where it's like you're gonna be cool.
You're gonna be fine. You're not gonna be broke.
Yeah.
Jay Moore and ours kept going. And if you comics make it past this, your money just doubled. Your money just tripled. He would throw out this random things, and I just kept imagining that
it would
in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'll tell you the funny. This is a little off topic, but when I was in the top five. And there's like a break that you go on before they pick up the actual filming of the top five. So they had like a 3 month or something.
Oh, so they can show everything.
Yeah. So
there's
things building
up.
Then you get caught up to the live point. So in that 3 month span, I was allowed to do like some touring, and I went to Laughlin, Nevada, doing Don Laughlin's casino, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was walking back to my room, and I saw this drunk lady who was pregnant. And smoking a cigarette, coming down the hallway, and I was like, oh,
totally got hit.
You know, I don't want her to. I don't want to talk to this. I just put my head down. I don't want to be recognized. I was trying to just walk past her, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Oh, I guess you didn't win, did you? Like that. And I was like, no, no, it's not over. I'm in the top five. I still have a chance. I mean, I need your vote, blah, blah, blah. She goes, what are you talking about? I was like, huh? She goes, I'm talking about that jet ski they're raffling off downstairs. You're up here. I guess you didn't win it. I felt like the biggest douchebag. I just got played by a drunk pregnant chick.
That fear always makes me, when somebody's like, I saw your set, and I want to go, thank you. But I'd be like,
wait.
Don't. They didn't say
just
good
acknowledge
or bad.
It. Go, okay.
Oh, cool.
What did you think?
Yeah. I'm not going to be the guy that says thank
never
you.
Never say thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Until it's an explicit comment. Yeah. Oh, I should say this. This is what I have to do for my podcast. It's annoying, but I have to take a break and say I have a sponsor.
Oh, nice.
You have a sponsor?
AdamandEve.com.
AdamandEve.com. I've heard of them.
They're a porn. They're a sex website, I guess.
Toys, yes. Dildos.
Yeah, toys,
kind
dildos,
of stuff.
Lingerie, lubricant.
Right.
All that sort of stuff.
Like do they have the vagina?
Yeah, they have rubber
different
vaginas.
Different kinds of vaginas.
They have the Fleshlight. They have the other brand rubber vaginas.
I've used a fake vagina one time.
Have you really?
Yeah, it feels nice, but it's a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
Like it takes time to get you gotta get that thing lubed up.
That's why I've always
you gotta
been a dry
put
guy.
It on. I'm a dry guy.
Yeah.
It's just quicker.
Except in hotel rooms, I'll get lubricant. That's it.
Yeah, if you got a lot of time to kill, there's nothing else to do.
And we're done with,
might as well get the lotion.
When you're done, you're not done with yours yet, are you?
No.
Yeah, just when you're done with that, we have a sponsor.
Do we have a sponsor now?
So okay. I'll let you do it.
Go ahead.
Well, if you go to adamandeve.com right now and at checkout, put in A-R-I, that's my name, Ari, they give you 50% off one item.
Oh, nice.
And a free gift and 3 free DVDs, porno DVDs probably, and free shipping.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot of cool
so
stuff.
So why not? You can get your freak out little bag sent to your house and change it up with you. And
if you need a sex swing. I don't even know if they sell sex swings, but if they do. Uh-huh. I actually went out with a girl once who said like she saw it in somebody's roof. She saw
the hook for
a
the
hook
swing.
For it, and she knew what that was. She's like, this guy's a
freak. I'd like to try one of those.
You know, we bought
but that'd be a lot of fun. A sex
yeah, you
swing.
Push them out. They get to have the wee moment.
Right.
And like, and plow it.
Wait, have you seen this one?
What?
The baskets?
What baskets?
The spinning baskets?
It's too much work.
I haven't seen this. I heard someone tell me about this.
What's a spinning
sounds
bag?
Awesome.
Like a hammock?
Like, okay, you're the dude. You lay down. You got your boner, right? Sticking straight up. You get some hot little... little sorry.
That
thank God.
Belly is...
I've been working on it,
yeah,
man.
Okay, that's
I'm,
cool. I'm glad
39.
You are. I'm glad you are.
So I'm laying there.
It's hard.
So you're laying there, and you got your boner, right? And yeah. Now there's a chick in a basket.
Yeah.
And who's naked.
Yeah.
And then the basket has already been spun, twisted a bunch. And so she lowers herself down onto your cock... And then lets go of the basket, and it just starts spinning.
So she spins around.
She's just
you?
Spinning on your cock.
Whoa!
I've heard of this. I haven't seen this.
Wouldn't that it just would tear up her inside of her uterus?
No, she's just, you're not like unless you have a huge cock. Or I'm just saying, it's like
well,
a,
that's what I
just
mean.
Spin, just friction.
if so, John, does, you can't do it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Let's say you did do some
great,
records.
If
yeah.
The friction is too great, you wouldn't be able to stop in time. But by the time you realize, oh, it's hurting, you still have 7-8 more spins.
right.
Before you can
sorry.
Stop
maybe there's a guy with the rope that pulls her back up off your cock, I guess. I don't
wow,
know.
Wow, that's interesting.
But it looks like you would need outside help with that one.
Maybe.
Because she's going to be in the basket already. You're going to be
it's
laying
like
there.
A carny
like,
guy?
Spin him up as hard as you can and then like let it go and see it like
right.
Around.
Well, yeah, it's like you twist anything and you let it go, it's going to start twisting back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that whole thing.
No, I've never heard of the basket, but I'll look
yeah.
into it
see
now.
If Adam and Eve has that.
Okay, I'll see if Adam and Eve has the basket
no, we bought
we'll have a basket party.
Honey!
Just kidding.
Yeah, we bought what, like, it's, of course, we've been married, so I don't even know where these are. Are those pillows that are like triangles?
Yeah.
So you can lift up your back and
the liberator.
Slide, and then you go.
I heard that's really
side.
Way better for the woman when she's just lifted up. On, it's under her back, but you try to shove a pillow underneath there, and they don't
the
get
pillows
it.
Pillows are all like they're. Yeah, they can shoot her in different directions, and it's not any more work. But you.
Oh wow, that's cool.
But then it just then you have these extra pillows, and then you're like, these pillows actually work better playing PS3. Like where you're not laying down, but it turns into like the
there's
game
no rules
chair.
You can't play video games with it.
Yeah, but then if anyone else comes over and playing Madden, you're like,
oh.
Can you not lean against that? Like it becomes
it's part of our marriage.
Yeah,
but then you
don't
think any
your
hotel
head on my liberator,
any hotel chair you're sitting in at your laptop is equally seeing more action than the liberator.
That's true.
Pillow. So anyway, no, AdamandEve.com.
We have a sponsor.
If they
now?
Go in there and put in
A-R-I
at checkout.
You get a bunch. You get free shipping.
Free shipping, free gift, 3 free DVDs, half off one item.
So why not? Like if you're going to buy some freak out stuff
oh, yeah,
anyway,
go there and get it.
You should bookmark it and always remember to put Ari's name in there.
Yeah.
Boom.
Just why not? And nothing comes from you.
I'm actually surprised. I'm like, that's a lot of free shit.
It is.
It is a lot of free
stuff. It's like not bad. Okay, what's the last podcast?
And last podcasting right now, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Mercedes. Rolex? No, I'm just. I was just trying to think what was, what is we have.
Well, we'll say this for you, for those of you guys listening who want to advertise something. This is where we would talk about you.
We would talk about it right now and see how long
right
we
here.
Talked about
moment,
Adam and Eve.
How long do we talk about Adam and Eve? Probably
they
asked
for
minutes.
Like a minute, but like I'm like that's like three
yeah.
minutes.
So there you go. You would have at least another 3 minutes right here. But you didn't contact
but
us.
But you didn't think about it.
So whoever that is, whoever our sponsor is going to be. Let us know. Contact us.
Do we
want to
keep going
podcasting.
Or do we to take a quick
No, we keep going. We can pause it if you want it.
And no one will know.
Well, there's
well,
a
they'll know now.
But damn
they'll
it.
They'll be none the wiser when
up.
It comes back.
You can't
totally
cut
not,
that out.
Totally, actually, let's not take a pre-break.
Should we actually – how much time have we done?
An hour 10.
Hour
10? No,
that's
easy.
That's pretty good. What there's a – speaking of DVDs.
Yeah.
Porn DVDs.
Yeah.
Do you watch a porn DVD?
I'm an internet guy.
It's all online now, right?
It's all online.
I mean, I'm surprised. There's right up on Colfax and Ventura. There is a porn store that's called AAA All Ratings, largest selection, and it's going out of business. And I'm like, finally, this thing is going out of business. Who goes?
Yeah,
to these
who's
places?
Still going? Who's getting magazines anymore?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember when I worked at a grocery store from about 14 to 21, we'd get our store didn't sell porn. But so you'd find somehow in the bottle room when you had to sort bottles, porn mags,
sneak one
would
in there.
Show up in the back. And to this day, if I got a criminal sketch artist, I could probably almost recite every image to every picture that was in that magazine 25 years ago, but now if that same magazine was in front of me, I wouldn't even. I would
I need to have moving images. We've been spoiled.
You can't even get me
to
look at
Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yeah,
but now I'm like, I need motion and penetration.
Yeah,
minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, my first set of boobs that I saw that were unfamily related. This woman was reaching over for milk at my grocery store, and she didn't have like bra on.
Oh,
and it was just a shirt.
Yeah,
you saw
she's hanging down.
You just saw it, and to this day, police lineup, I could probably say exactly what she looked.
That's
like.
That's how it was for Mrs. Farber with me. Great teacher.
Really,
Mrs. Farber.
She didn't wear a bra, or just had some big tits.
She, I don't think she wore a bra, but she would always lean over to help you with your math problems, and be like.
Well, now with all the teachers hooking up with the students, like maybe that was her thing. But
you had
back then,
going for it,
maybe
for
that was
Jewish
her way
of fifth graders. None of us were going to make that move. And then the English teacher was Ms. Ritrow, and she seemed mean. She was an old lady.
She wasn't having it.
Old lady. She was probably like 42.
She had gray hair.
Did
you ever get flirted on by any teachers ever in your life, high school, middle
school? One time in college, I thought of asking out a TA.
Mm-hmm.
It was the grad student.
Right.
But it still would have been
4 years older than you?
Maybe. Maybe because I was an older college kid.
Right.
So I went to Israel for a few years. So maybe less.
By the way, Ari
older.
And John almost touched hands, and it was an odd, uncomfortable moment right there.
Touch
where they, okay. where they completely put it down. Like, I saw it, though. I completely saw it.
I flirted with her because it was two things. One, it was like, I could date my teacher. That'd be fucking rad. And two, she was a black chick. And I was like, two things,
one list. That's great. There was a girl
in
our high school who was the Spanish teacher, and she was like the youngest teacher, like kind of new.
Yeah.
And every dude in that high school was like gaga over her. She's super cute
and
cool and like
she was young.
Didn't mind if you cut up a little bit as long as
she'd
get back on track. And
that's cool.
And I never had her class, but one of my buddies had her class, and then like there's this, school would end at like 3 o'clock. And then the buses go first. You get like 10 or 15 minutes before
walkers
people
leave,
but the cars are allowed to drive home.
Yeah.
So for that 10, 15 minutes, I would just go to her class and hang out with my buddy.
And
she'd be in there and just mess around and flirt and,
Yeah, if you're an attractive high school teacher, you get beaten off to way more than a regular attractive person.
Totally, yeah. And then years later, I went back and I was in community college, just maybe like 19, and I went to go to a home football game from the high school, and she was there.
High school, and I was like, what community college is it?
It was the old high schools. And she was there, and she said, hey, John. And she came up to me, and she kissed me.
What kind of kiss?
Just mwah, like that.
On the lips?
Yeah, just on the lips. And her husband was right there.
Oh.
She had a husband, but he didn't care. But I just remember like, oh, my God. I've been thinking about this for years. And she just came up and did it like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't even think twice.
Because you're an adult now.
But she never could have done that in high school because, you know.
No, that's
taboo.
That creeps you out the most after show when you're getting pictures and there's like a husband and wife team and the guy's like, I don't fucking need a picture with this guy. Yeah. He takes a picture and then the wife or girlfriend, like, I've got to move. I make a fist and I put it on top of their shoulder.
The least hitting on. Yeah, there's always that thing too. I'm touching a girl. It's like,
I don't do this.
I go for it. I don't grab boob.
Yeah, see her. I'm empty.
Yeah, we're married guys, so we have to be careful.
I go close fist on top of shoulder.
Always,
but I only, in all fairness, I only grab the like over the shoulder grab boob, but I only do that so that they won't notice my fingers coming to go up their vaginas.
Vagina. Do you do that? Do you slowly on their back as you're walking away and just stick it down and go
zip? And I make a noise as it goes in.
So, ladies, that's Ari's move.
Don't hear that. I don't do that. I don't do boob or the other thing.
Of course not. It's illegal. What else, guys?
Well, okay. What would you guys change about this that stupid show, Last Comic Standing?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any drama in there, which I think they did last time. It was just stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we had drama.
I was lucky because there was no house we had to live in.
Okay.
There was no, like, we had challenges and still, but they really made the competition more about stand-up than they did any other season that I'm aware of. But, so I was, you know, I don't know. How do you change it? It's primetime network. You can't really
assuming
say
assuming that's days. You can't say put it on HBO because, well,
okay,
you could, but
let's just say it's on NBC. Yeah.
Can you allow cursing and beep it? Or that's not even, they wouldn't even do that?
Well, even like American Idol, there's no house and there's no stupid little challenges. It's more like there is a house, but there's no competition in that house.
They just show them like singing and stuff.
Yeah, they're just goofing off. So maybe less competition on the reality side of shit and all make the competition just about stand-up. But then you can't really do that because people vote for who they like anyway.
That is a problem.
We had house. I don't know. We had challenges, house, and performing. Yeah. Where we had to go. We had to perform in front of little kids. Mm-hmm. We had to do, I forgot some of the other random challenges
that
we did.
Tough. We did a heckle challenge. You did a heckle challenge?
A heckle challenge. So lame because it's contrived hecklers. It's not like who's better dealing with. It's like that's a guy who's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
It's not a drunk who just acts up.
But what I think what it did on ours is it got people into you or not into you based on your personality, where the other episodes challenges. You had three people come out, here's my 2-minute bit, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they didn't build on any, like, I kind of like this guy, or because they made villains on our show. Here's this guy, here's this guy, here's their Detroit guy.
I would have just reality and then no contest. Leave the contest part out of it. So just like have them all in a house, do the challenges, do whatever, but nobody gets voted off. Or you get voted off based on the challenges, and everybody gets to perform each week.
So the last person to stay gets a prize?
Maybe.
I mean, is there something in it?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe
I would just watch the same five comics.
Everyone's doing it really just to be on TV the longest.
Right.
That's the main thing. Way better to be second than it is to be 10th.
Or just pay everybody the same. Like, once you get in the top 10, there's no prize.
Yeah.
You're all going to get paid the same.
Yeah, if you need to ask people to leave, make it like Real
World. You
could
have the audience
pick. Real World, there's not going for anything.
On ours, we had the audience had a monitor. That's how you decided. So you would challenge people, and then you'd go up. So it was me and whoever, and the audience that was there that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They voted. Vote.
They did
this
on
guy.
Season two.
So you could just do that every night, and if the audience decides, but
I hate the idea.
That's
though.
A better
and
it's measure of how than
what they saw on the reality show.
Right.
Just that
people
night.
In that room in that audience right then and there.
Vote. Who had a better set? And it's just and then you just
and you don't get to invite anybody because I remember when Gary Gulm was in it saying April Macy up front and I was like, motherfucker, she's dating him. Of course she's going to vote for him.
Right. That's not fair.
Yeah. I'm like, how many of these people are? I would do it.
Wait.
Like, don't like the idea of a contest for stand up for any sort of art form. It's like. Just preference. Like I said about that chef, it's just preference, so who cares?
It's apples and oranges. I mean, you really can't.
But there needs to be
I mean, it's ridiculous to say that, and I make fun of this. This is part of my little act now, as I'll say, like, thanks to your votes, I was able to say that I'm the best comedian in the world for 1 year. Just 1 year. Yeah, I don't know where I stand now, but it's ridiculous to say it. I mean, it's just so subjective. That's dumb. Were you guys going to do a challenge, like, halfway in the podcast? We're right up.
Let's do that. Who's gonna go real far? Maybe win some freaking money in a brand new car. I'll take no crap from the judges, no. I'll be the funniest comic standing on this whole damn show. I am gonna be the That's it. That's our break. Two out of the three of us went to go get high. When we came back, we didn't talk at all about Last Comic Standing. We talked about growing up in the 80s and whatever it was when we all sort of grew up. So it's a separate episode. It's held together as a topic, so it's a separate episode. I'll throw it in, we'll say Wednesday. That's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Find this on iTunes under Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Find it on arithegreat.com, where you can also find special features, like clips of each of these guys' stand-up from Last Comic Standing. Yeah, I'll probably put that on there. And what else? Old stuff, my old interviews, the interview with the hooker from last week. I shouldn't say that. Provider. Her email address is on there, or whatever. Not a real email address, but one she's checking. And then I might bring her back too. Seems like I should. She was pretty fun. Maybe just answer some questions. Maybe do a podcast of Ari and the Whore. That's a bad name. Maybe it's not. But Ari and the Whore. That's a possibility. But yeah, I might bring her back and we might do answer some questions that she's getting. And that's it. So I'll throw the next episode on Wednesday with these two guys. It was really actually a lot more fun. We got a little loose from the weed. And that's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 41, over and out.